If you are visiting with us today, welcome to Fellowship Church. I am so glad you are here. Today is unlike most every other day that we have in Fellowship Church. If you came last week, you received a packet that these guys are passing out right now. So who brought back their packet? Hey, look at that. I knew this was my favorite service, right, of all the other services. If you didn't bring it back or you're new to us today, please take one of these packets. We want you to have one, so don't feel bad if you just left it at home. We want you to be able to follow along. Last week, we began a two-part series entitled The State of the Church Address, where we are simply, for these 2 weeks, looking at what have we done right and what have we done wrong? And what changes are we making because of that? So this is not a typical sermon. Next week, you'll have sermon notes when you come in, and we'll be starting the book of 1 Peter. I'm very excited about that. But today, this packet is your notes. And if you are visiting with us, even if you missed last week, this is a great opportunity for you to understand who we are as a church and to help be able to decide, is this a place for you or is God going to call you somewhere else? Now, in last November, we began a journey as a staff to ask the question, are we honoring God to the fullest extent with our church? So this packet is a result of that question. And we are going to pick up on page 5 of the packet where we left off last week. So I apologize if you're coming and missed last week. You'll have to read in the packet to catch up, or you'll have to listen from last week. For 16 years since our church was started, we've operated under a mission statement that says, we exist to experience real relationships with God, with each other, and with our community. It's a beautiful and fabulous statement. I forgot about y'all, didn't I? I'm so sorry. At the end of this time, if you're visiting, or if you've never become a member of our church and would like to become a member of our church, then Chris and Brandon have these membership sheets. If you've been through a membership class, you'll recognize what these sheets look like. If you're here and like, man, I've never been to one, but I want to become a member, or I don't know, I might want to, it depends on what Jonathan is about to say, they're going to walk down the aisle and just wave at them, do the whole waitress nod. I'm just joking. That was a shot at both of you. Do the whole waiter nod, you know, and they'll pass you a sheet real quick. Yeah, it's very manly. So you guys can walk on down. We are excited about what God is doing. See, when we've operated with, we exist to experience real relationships with God, each other, and our community, that's a fantastic mission statement. But were we fulfilling that mission statement and still lacking what God had called us to do as a church? For that reason, we stated last week that we felt it necessary to change our mission statement to loving God and transforming lives by following Jesus. What I believe encompasses the full purpose of who we are as a church. Now, if you look on the very back of the packet that you came in and that you just received, this packet reflects that mission statement. In fact, we're letting that mission statement just kind of filter through all of our church. This is the new way that our staff is organized here in the church. We've actually been operating this way since June. The reason being that as we grew as a church, we hired new staff members and we said, oh great, we can't carry this load anymore. You're the new guy. You've got this. And we repeated that pattern and it worked out very well until it didn't. So we got just a little bit too large for that. So we began this in June and almost every staff member changed their job description a little bit. If you see the green circles that are surrounding the black circle, we said we now have 3 associate pastors. One who is over, how are we loving God as a church? The great commandment. So John Partain, our worship leader, is the associate pastor over our relationship, our vertical relationship with the Lord. But then how are we transforming lives by following Jesus? That's discipleship, as we talked about it last week. And so Chris Smith then stepped in as our discipleship pastor to fulfill that role. So, well, those are the only two purposes of the church. Why is there a third green circle? Because, of course, if you get together, there's administrative needs, lots of administrative needs. And Paul has stepped in as another associate, as our executive pastor, to be over administration. So we have a system of communication and organization. Listen, I know that there are people in this room who fly by the seat of your pants. That's a fun way of saying it, right? Organization is a good thing. I've had to learn that lesson as your pastor. Because I want to be Holy Spirit led. I am Holy Spirit led. And God didn't write in the Bible, this is how you need to organize all the people that work and volunteer for your church. There's not a First Jonathan anywhere where that stuff is explained to people like me. So the Lord has led us in organization. We see throughout the Bible great people with administrative minds that have organized, and the Holy Spirit uses us even in the midst of that organization. Maybe that's a tidbit for your life as well. So if you turn to page 5, the way that we want to organize our lives in the church to grow with the Lord is through a word called path. We looked at P last week that talks about how God has a plan for you in salvation with Christ Jesus, right? That Jesus has bought our salvation on the cross and with the resurrection. But as we grow in the Lord and begin to understand the basics of what it means to be a Christian, we understand that God wants us to abide with one another. And that's the A. And this word abide, when we look in John 15, chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we saw that the word abide literally means to stay with. So God is saying, I want to stay with you, but then there's personal responsibility for us to fight. Maybe that's an extreme word, but to fight to be able to stay with God. What are we fighting? We're not fighting God. We're fighting against the ways of this world to push those right out of our mind and out of our heart that are clamoring for our attention and our worship, to push those out of the way so that we can stay holding onto the Lord. Now, I make it sound difficult from our side, but the reality of abiding is that Christ is doing all that he can to abide with us, all that he can without coercing us. He wants to abide with you. So the way that we want to enter into these abiding relationships with God and with each other are through path groups. And we have called them life groups in the past. And we're switching their name to path groups. So when you exit this room, you'll see the path group leaders lined up on the porch as you saw when you came in here. Oh, why should I be in a path group? Because we want you to have every opportunity that you can have to abide with Christ, to stay with him. Can you imagine with my wife, if I devoted 1 hour a week, 1 hour and 15 minutes a week, to being with her? What an awful marriage. We'd still be married, but we'd be miserable, wouldn't we? Some of you right now, light bulbs are coming on, and this is what's happening in my marriage. More time with one another is very important for you, right? But if we relegate that time to God and just say, okay, 1 hour and 15 minutes, that's all I'm going to give to the Lord, it's no wonder we're not growing with the Lord. Right? A path group is another opportunity for us to be able to abide with the Lord and grow in him. Now, people will push back all the time and say, well, Jonathan, I read my Bible and I pray, so I don't need to go to a path group. And that's great. I read my Bible and I pray too. And that's fantastic. Keep that up. But if we're looking at Jesus, He did those things with other people together. In fact, remember when Jesus sent out 72 disciples? They were actually called disciples, 72 disciples. He had this wealth of people who were close to him that he had this authority to send out. But he didn't just hang out with 72 people. That's way too many people, right? He called 12 to himself that he walked with every single day. Out of that 12, he only had 3 that were really his close friends, John and James and Peter. There's a reason we know more about those guys than the other disciples. They were the closest to Jesus. And of course, Jesus still hung out with the 5,000. He still preached to the masses. We see his life modeling relationships that we need to be an example of to other people. So what we've developed because of that are 3 types of path groups. So we have sermon expansion path groups, basically a sermon path group. And that means out there at those tables, there are leaders who are going to take what I preach on a Sunday morning or what somebody else preaches, and they're just going to expand on it. They're going to search out other scriptures on the same topics. That is a great way to grow in the Lord. Many of you, that would be fantastic to do that. But maybe you have a specific need. So we have Bible study path groups as well. There's one out there that's just for marriages that meets on Wednesday nights. So we're just going to dig into what marriage is, Clinton Sandy Zagarba's group. So there are other ones out there that just focus in on one biblical topic, and maybe that's you. Maybe you've been in a path group and you're like, I'm trying to grow with the Lord, but for some reason I keep hitting this ceiling as I abide with the Lord. So we have a 3rd set of groups that are called recovery groups. Because maybe the reason that you're hitting a ceiling and not growing in the Lord is because you have these hurts and hang-ups from the past. Maybe they're 10 years old, 20 years old, maybe they're 10 months old, but you can't get around that. You can't find forgiveness. You can't forgive others. We have recovery groups that can help you address those situations from your past so that you can grow in the Lord with your future. Now, one of the areas in our church that I feel like we have failed in, and as we started looking at why had families left our church, there were different areas of our walk with the Lord where people had stepped away from the church. It was as if they couldn't find the next step to grow in their relationship with the Lord. So we began talking last week that we are creating path groups, that will repeat every single semester or as much as they can repeat. The first one is a Christian Basics path group that began this morning, actually, at 8:30, to just teach the basics. Every 6 weeks, it's going to repeat. So if you want to sign up for it the next 6 weeks and jump into it, you can do that. If you have friends that need to get started with the Lord, you can do that. But as you grow in the Lord, one of the questions that we receive all the time is, how do I know God's will for my life? People get exasperated sometimes with that question. So we are beginning a path group that Josh and Jen McDonald are leading for this semester that is the Experiencing God Bible Study. In my opinion, it's the greatest Bible study ever written on finding the will of God for your life. That'll repeat in the spring. It will repeat next fall. So as you grow in the Lord and want to know what is his will, we want you to be able to take that step and jump into that path group. Another one we're going to be doing is spiritual gifts. It's going to begin this spring, but in the same way as you abide in the Lord, he's going to grow in your life. You're going to be producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What do I do with that? How does that work? We're going to have a semester all next spring for spiritual gifts. It's going to repeat in the fall. It's going to repeat in the spring. You're going to be able to find out, what are your spiritual gifts? How do I use those things? Now, if you've joined our church in the past, when you joined, we handed you a spiritual gifts inventory and said, take this. Good luck. Go with the Lord. Some of you weren't even a Christian when we handed that to you. It was a bad way. that we did it. We recognize that. Another group that we're starting, and I saw Tom earlier, led by Tom, is going to be a Bible interpretation group. That if you're growing in the Lord and say, now I see you back there, Tom. If you're growing in the Lord and saying, how can I dig in deeper? I've read the Bible. I don't want to go to another level. Then this group is also going to repeat and help you dig in deeper and learn on your own. The last one is one that I lead. I started last year that is called Training Center. And it's just a deeper, we're pulling the whole Bible together and looking at theology and how it all fits together in this masterpiece of the Lord. So options as you grow up in the Lord to say, what's the next step for me? We believe that we have that next step for you. Now, it could be that that next step is always just in a normal path group. Praise the Lord. It could be that you just want to stay here on Sunday mornings and just keep coming. You can do that. But I don't want you to be satisfied with just Sunday mornings. We want to know God to his fullest. Now, it's kind of scary jumping into a living room with people that you don't know very well. Right, because I'm going to get all courageous and I'm going to say, Elizabeth and I are struggling in our marriage. And Elizabeth's going to look at me with dagger eyes. And everybody's going to look at me and be like, you should be a Christian, you know. I don't think people snap anymore. But, right, and you call yourself a Christian. How? I understand we've had hurts in the past where we've put ourselves out on the line. So these are values for our path groups. We value growth. We don't want you to stay the same. We want you to walk and grow with the Lord. We value real relationships, not this Facebook mediocrity, right? We want depth. Those two things take time, don't they? You're not going to go to a path group on the first time and be like, I didn't grow and I didn't make my new best friend. It doesn't happen the first time. Happens over the first semester and year. We value authenticity. We value confidentiality. We value a respect for each other and availability for each other. And we value birthing, reproduction. Now, I know our church has been very well at honoring the Lord when he said, go and reproduce, right? We have children a lot. So praise the Lord. That's not what we're talking about here. We value the life group, the path group growing and replicating itself. To say more people need to be a part of this, I'm going to do one on my own. We want that to be the case. Now, are our path groups perfect? Are these going to always be upheld? No, because we're not perfect. Right? You might have a prayer request and you feel like somebody gossips about it. We've had that happen in our church. Unbelievable, right? But we're going to go and address those and say, this is not what we value. This is not what we're setting out to do. And we're going to seek forgiveness. We're going to seek to keep walking with the Lord every step of the way. You know, as we abide with the Lord, perhaps we want to begin serving. We realize that God has created us for more than just receiving. Isn't that hard to imagine? Church isn't just about what you receive. Now, some people have made it that way. When you're a new Christian, it is about what you receive, right? I'm learning and I'm growing. But as you continue to grow, you realize that it becomes about what you can give. Because once the cup is full, right, you've been filled up, you need to pour yourself out so that the Lord can fill you up anew with fresh things and pour that out and let him fill you up. I have a good pastor friend in the area and he said, man, I kind of got reamed out by a new visitor. He said, we're new to the area and we visited around the different churches. And when I came to your church, all I got was this form letter that said, thank you for visiting our church. This is how we operate. And in this letter, he said, but this other church, they gave me a bag of coffee. And this other church, they gave me this little gadget that helps me see what they're doing for their church. But all you gave me was a form letter. You need to get with it on how to do church. Whoa. How selfish have we become as a people? Right? We're not a Rotary Club. We are the church that meets together to worship Christ Jesus. And what we receive is Christ. I don't want to be satisfied with another gadget or a bag of coffee. Those are fine, right? What we receive is Christ. And what we give is Christ to those who are around us. So as we give, you might want to do local missions. This is an area that we have hurt a little bit in our church. We've stumbled a little bit. And ironically, the town will talk about our church and how we do so much for local missions. For instance, this past Thursday morning, we fed the Barton Middle School teachers breakfast, and we fed the Hayes High School teachers breakfast. And then that night, we fed the Negley teachers and parents hot dogs, just to tell them we love you. We're here for you. If you need us, we're praying for you. Friday, we fed the Fuentes Elementary School teachers breakfast for a Hope Church that's going to meet there. So we just want to be active in our community. It could be you that wants to be active. We have three things that are repetitive, that are like all hands on deck for local missions. One is a gift of joy and a night in Bethlehem. They happen at the same time. Those are two things. A night in Bethlehem is where we set up our parking lot and people come to see a camel, but we tell them about Jesus. And it's great. And they love it. At the same time as a night in Bethlehem, we get names from the school district of people who can't afford gifts for Christmas. And we bring them in here, and it takes all the people in our church. We buy gifts for these families, and we pray with them, and we minister to them, and we tell them about Jesus. And it's one of the coolest things you've ever seen. Also, when our schools are out on holiday, a lot of kids don't have food to eat during that time, and we make lunches over those holidays and give them food. So those are some all hands on deck, but that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as local missions. See, we have people in our church who have been raised up and doing incredible things. People like, they were in the last service, John and Pat Lauer go to the prison here in Kyle every Thursday night. And they minister in the prison, and it's phenomenal. And they always need help over there. What a cool ministry, leading prisoners to Christ. It's amazing. And we have a long list of people that do things like that in our community. Rudy Cedillo, who is our missions pastor, has made a very thorough list of what is happening through our church in the community. And if you say, I want to step in and be a part of that, then we want you to look down that list and say, yeah, I'm here for the nursing home. I can teach this Bible study at this nursing home. I can be at the prison. I can go to the pregnancy center. We have ways for you to jump in and be involved. And maybe an easier way is just to step in ministry to the church. It's just like you. A lot of times we have people that come in who are hurting, who are in need. So we have our children, we have our youth, we have men's and women's ministries. We have lots of avenues that you can step in and just get your feet wet in following the Lord. Sometimes it's scary to do that, right? See, as we abide with Christ, he calls us out of our comfort zone to grow us in the Lord. You know, we might have a need teaching fourth graders during this service, teaching third graders, and that could scare you to death. Third graders, you know, they're going to own me. It's going to be rough. I don't know how I'm going to leave. And so you got to step out in faith to take over that class and step in there and teach. And Pastor Robert's going to give you the skills that you need to survive in there. But then what happens, you realize, man, I'm loving it. They're blessing me. And you develop this hunger for growing in the Lord in that way and giving yourself, because what's happening in that same analogy, you are pouring out what God is doing in you and what you've learned and prepared so Christ can fill you up again, and you're going to pour that out again. And that becomes something that we just want more and more and more of as time goes by. There's responsibility for us to step out of our comfort zone and be a part of these places that the Lord has made available. So as we abide with Christ, what we realize then is that we begin to thrive in the Lord. That's a T for path. We have plan, abide, and thrive in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as we abide with Christ, he produces these things so that we can bless other people through what he is producing in this fruit that is the Holy Spirit. But look at how the next verse states it. It says this in Galatians, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Oh, we crucify the flesh. You know what Paul is starting to say? We want to run this race together when we thrive. We need each other for accountability, for sharpening one another. Look at this verse in Proverbs. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Look at this verse in Hebrews, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what's happening here as we thrive, again, we're realizing it's not about what I receive. It's becoming more and more about what I give. And we're learning this pattern of being filled and emptying ourselves for Christ. Now, I know we've studied the Great Commission before, Matthew 28. In fact, let's look at this together here in verses 18 through 20. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if you look at that, if you're going to make disciples of all nations, it's at number two in your packet, then what that means is that you are taking people who don't know anything. So we're making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we're taking them that don't know anything and we're developing them, discipling them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. This is what people who are thriving in the Lord start to understand. We understand in that number one in your packet that Jesus has all the authority. He didn't give me all the authority. Jesus has that. So I'm going to take these people and pour into them to transform them into Jesus Christ, right? Now, how do we teach them all that Jesus commanded us? This third thing, we teach them through observation of our lives, through the words that we say. I mean, Jesus taught his disciples probably more through observation and what they saw him do and how they saw him act than by what he said. And we're promised at the end that Jesus will never leave us, right? So we know that he's with us. So this passage here that I know we know well bolsters us to be bold with Christ. What does this mean? Well, based on these passages, I want you to enter into discipling relationships. Discipling relationships. What does that mean? I'm going to call up my son. Ethan, come on up here. If you can help me here, take this. Now, y'all give him an applause. This is tough to come up, right? Ethan, if you can just stand a little further back would be great right there. And if we can zoom in on Ethan just to make him feel uncomfortable here for a second. So Ethan has this empty cup of water. Can you turn that upside down? We can verify that you have an empty cup. I said of water, but it's just an empty cup. Now, I have a full cup of water right here. If all you want to do is come on Sunday mornings, are you being discipled? Yes. Technically, yes, you are gleaning from what the Lord has done in my life through the week, what he's taught in Scripture and what I'm trying to relay to you. That's great. That's been done for 2,000 years. But if this is what the Lord has taught me, right? And this is what the Lord is doing in my life. And Ethan is here on Sunday morning. Then this is kind of what it looks like for you. All right, Ethan, are you ready to receive of what the Lord has done? All right, here we go. Ready? You got it. All right. Now, Ethan, how much water do you have in your cup there? Sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss, right? He was refreshed, I will tell you that much right here. But the reality is, that is not the most effective way for you to be discipled, right? If I were to sit down in my living room with Ethan and say, Ethan, this is what being a young man is all about. No, you hold this cup. Say, Ethan, this is what being a teenager is like and following the Lord. Ethan, this is how relationships work. This is what God has taught me this week. Man, how efficient is that? That's discipleship. That's what we are after in people who thrive with Christ. Y'all give him a hand. It's tough to be a pastor's kid. I tell you what, sometimes it is really hard, right? Sometimes we mistake discipleship and mentorship. One reason that people don't want to disciple is that they feel like it's going to impact everything in my life. I'm going to have to set aside another night and be discipled. I want you to find two or three people in discipling relationships that you can be accountable with, that you can grow in the Lord with. Now, there's no good way to say, you be with you and you be with you. That doesn't work because you might not even like each other, right? But if you're in a path group, then what I'm wanting is organically for you to identify one or two people that you can say, hey, let's disciple. Let's be in a discipling relationship. I need you to pour into me. Let me hold you accountable, right? And let it be organic in what happens. Now, discipleship is not mentorship, because if somebody was going to become a pastor, I would mentor you to say, this is what being a pastor is like. This is what you can expect. And it would be an extra time that we would set aside. But discipleship is living life with one another. Hey, I'm folding clothes. Why don't you come on over and I'll show you how our clothes have stains on them too, just like yours. And yeah, my kid's going to have a meltdown while we're talking about Jesus, and you're going to see how I react and what I do when he's having a meltdown, and we're going to talk about Jesus in the midst of it. Hey, we're eating dinner at this time. Come and join us. Yeah, you bring the sides and I'll make the main dish, and you just join us for dinner, and you're going to see our interaction and how we talk about the Lord, and we're rubbing off on each other. That's discipleship. That's a picture that the Bible paints. Maybe in thriving in Christ, you want to jump into the spiritual gifts path group. Maybe you want to jump into the Bible interpretation path group. Maybe you want to go on a foreign mission trip. People ask us all the time, are church partners with four foreign mission places? One in Honduras, where we go into a third world country and try to help the churches that are down there. One in Germany that is just like us, except they don't know Jesus. So we go and try to teach them about Jesus and share Christ with other people. One in Romania, where we have a missionary's feet on the ground that came from this church, and Paul and Jessica Ebel, and we work with them to reach the teenagers in Dragonești Olt, Romania. That's their job. And one that is the most recent in Tanzania, Africa, in Kenya, Africa, through Kulea Villages. Kulea Village is a comprehensive mission plan to take the orphans there in those African nations and give them a place to thrive, where they're going to be educated, have a place to live and grow and be functioning members of society. We do that by partnering with the church in each of those nations, and praise the Lord for what he's doing. You got to step out of your comfort zone to do something like that. See, as you learn how to thrive in Christ, what happens? The last letter of the path group happens. It's honor. You learn that everything in my life is about honoring and glorifying the Lord. See, we don't just go to HEB to get butter and milk. We go to HEB because God might put us in the path of somebody that needs encouragement or needs to hear about Jesus or needs to be prayed over. That's actually a reason why I don't go to HEB, because everybody needs that. And it's like, I can't get out of HEB. We don't just come to church to receive, right? We come to church because God is going to sit us next to somebody that needs some encouragement, or God's bringing us here to bless somebody. This is what happens in the people's lives who are honoring the Lord. We don't just go to work so we can bring home a paycheck anymore. We realize God has me in this office for a reason, and I want to be a light for Him. Oh, I'm not just going to this class to learn geography. I'm going here because I want to be a light for Him. These are things that are indicative of lives who honor the Lord. Look at how Romans 12:10 says this: love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. See, in maturity, a Christian honoring the Lord is working to bring as many people with him or with her into the kingdom of God. Maybe you get to this place and you want to take training center. Maybe you get to this place and you start to take ownership in your ministry. You see, like I mentioned, John and Pat Lauer, they own the ministry there at the Kyle prison. And maybe you go with them and you're loving that ministry and you realize there's not anything happening at the jail here in Hayes County like that. I'm going to go and own it down there. This is what reproduction is like in lives that honor the Lord. We take ownership of these things. When you honor the Lord, then you take that person that you've discipled and you say, I've poured into you, now pour into somebody else. And then you start having grandchildren in Jesus, because that one that you've brought along is now bringing others along with them. You become confident in who you are and what you believe. You give freely to the Lord. Do you know that your life can honor God? Every aspect of your life can honor the Lord. But it doesn't happen overnight, does it? There's not some magic wand of boom, now you're honoring, and everything that you're doing, there's steps along the way to say, today, Lord, I'm going to take this next step to follow you. So we look in the mirror one day and realize, man, everything about my life is about giving glory to the Lord. I'm going to skip over this giving part. If you've been through a membership class before, I've gone through that before. But needless to say, as you grow in maturity, you give of all things to the Lord. You see this page that has our mainline Christian beliefs. I'm not going to go through that page either. It would be beneficial for you to go through the page, because this is what Christians believe. If you're in a Protestant church, not a Roman Catholic church, this is what Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, non-denominational believe. What makes us distinct is on that next page. We talked about baptism last week. The way we do the Lord's Supper makes us distinct. People ask all the time, why don't you do the Lord's Supper like the other churches? Do you know when the Lord's Supper began, it was around a table at mealtime, and they broke bread and they thanked the Lord for his sacrifice, and they drank wine and they thanked the Lord for his blood that was given for them. That was the supper. But as the Catholic Church became the Catholic Church, the pomp and circumstance was added, where a priest had the power to bless bread and bless wine and make it the body and blood of Jesus, and then everybody drank of the blood and ate of the body. That's not Bible, that's church tradition. So we want to get back to what it meant to the disciples, what it meant for the first 400 years of the church. What you will always hear from me, no matter what book I go through, is about the security of the believer, because I believe once you have your salvation, you can't lose it. You didn't earn it, and you're not going to lose it. Are you saved, though? That's the big question, right? Are you saved? One that we've had to add recently as Supreme Courts have made their rulings as just on marriage, that we believe marriage was created by God as a union between a man and a woman. That's just what the Bible says. And we're going to follow the Bible in all ways, in all forms. Now, what's not essential? Everything else is not essential. We're going to argue over the Nephilim. I love to argue over the Nephilim, but I don't care if we disagree. I know that I'm right and you're wrong, so that's okay. We're going to argue over who was in charge of Ephesus when Paul was up there. That's okay. We're going to argue over how to pronounce the daughter's name of Zelophehad in the book of Numbers. That's okay. They have weird names. We can argue over those things, but it doesn't separate us, does it? Because I love you, and we're in unity on these other things. You see how our church communicates. One of the horrible things that I get told in our church is, I never heard about that. And I'm like, why? We have all of these things that we were putting information on. We want you to be up to date on what is happening. You see all of our staff. Every one of us has an email address. That's our first name at f-pc.org. You see the listing of all of our elders, many of them in this room right now, around this room, meeting once a month to pray for you, to make decisions that would be glorifying to the Lord. So what does it mean to be a church member? If you want to become a church member, if you've seen these last 2 weeks and are like, this is it for me, I want to be a church member, what does that mean? It means that you become family for us. If you're a Christian, you're already family, but you're like a crazy uncle that lives in Wisconsin. Maybe not Wisconsin, right? But far away. And he's still family, but we just don't know you very well. What we're agreeing to when we become a member is that we want to be like brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers with one another, where we're in these discipling relationships together. That's the big difference. A member is about belonging, but a family is treated with loyalty and intimacy. So, well, why should I join this church? Well, I just told you why for the last 2 weeks, but why should you join any church? Because when you look at the letters in the New Testament, they were written to specific churches where the Holy Spirit was doing a specific work through a specific people. I believe that God is doing something special right here with Fellowship Church. I see it every day. Lives that are changing, people who are growing in the Lord. I believe God's doing something special at Hayes Hills Baptist. I believe he's doing something special at First United Methodist Kyle, at First Baptist Kyle. I believe that there are good things happening in churches, but there's something unique here for us. And we want to join together in what we've talked about and run this race together. There's two things I will expect of you if you want to become a member. I expect you to grow in your relationship with Christ, and I expect you to be developed in discipleship with the rest of the church. That's it. And we run the race together. Listen, this has nothing to do with membership, but we're even changing our look just a little bit, as you've seen. Our communication cards that are in the chair in front of you, I will confess to you, we had so many of these last week that we weren't able to finish following up. So if you filled this out and I still haven't followed up with you, it's my fault. We're going to do better this week. These go, you fill them out and they go in the prayer boxes, and we will follow up with you this week. We also made shirts to reflect what God is doing in our life. These are so fantastic. I love it. It just is a simple explanation of what you've heard for the past 2 weeks. What is this about? Is this about, oh, we're cooler than the other churches? No, although this shirt is very soft and nice. And this is left over from the illustration, right? This water stain here in front of it. This is a conversation starter. You don't want to talk to people about Christ? Don't wear this shirt. If you want a way to talk to somebody easily about Christ, put this thing on. And when somebody says, hey, what's that about? There's your chance. What are you going to say? Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity over the last few weeks simply to overview what you're doing in the life of this church. Lord, I know that the last 2 weeks have been so strange for me not to just dig through a book of the Bible. Lord, and even today, I know I skipped over so much scripture just for time's sake to be able to get through this packet. So Lord, as we meet next week and begin studying the book of 1 Peter, God, may it be refreshing to our hearts and to our souls. But Lord, now as we're on the same page of understanding, what are we doing and how are we operating in a new way in this church? Lord, may we run the race more effectively because of the changes that you've led us to make. Father, who are you calling in this room to become members of the church? Who are you calling to seek another church? Lord, who are you calling to jump into discipling relationships? May you help us run this path together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.